Welcome to episode 71 of the Making Geeks podcast. We are the podcast for makers, dads, and geeks. And we are your faithful hosts, starting with Mr. Josh Price.
Hello, everybody.
And Mr. Mark O'Keefe.
What's going on?
Mr. Wes Swain.
Good evening.
And I am the senior citizen of the group, Mr. Sean Joliker.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
it's felt weird this week. I think it got to me a little bit, but that's okay. I'm trying to have a good time anyways. Got a 3-day weekend coming up, so things are looking good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Had a few bits of success this week.
Yeah, you did. Stuff looks awesome.
It looks great.
Now I just need a $10,000 printer to get them in that color.
And you got a little shout out from somebody, didn't you?
Yeah. Microsoft noticed what I was doing, so that was nice.
Well, you might be able to get a couple extra Kinects. I hear that laying around.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right. I still got to contact those other companies about the other scanners so I can try and do a scanner off. That'd be kind of neat to do.
Get a couple more of those shout outs.
Hacksmith.
Yeah,
Hacksmith just had a video about 3D scanners.
Yeah, the price range is just ridiculous. You can either start, there's like one at 60, and then the other ones are between like 130 and 160. And then it goes to 410,000. So that's a little nutty. And I still got to do a lot of research on what the, because there's two different cameras in the scanners, one for color, one for laser depth, and they're not laser, like the laser for the surface mapping. So it's, I got to get to understand a little better the specs on those cameras.
Well, why don't you just buy like 3 iPhone 10s, put on a little rig, and with that facial scanning, you should be able to do some pretty good scanning.
Oh, yeah.
With a bunch of Kinects, like if you were to have like a pole kind of dome and just put the Kinects along the dome and just have somebody walk in
and then just drop it. Yeah. There is no software that'll do more than one of those cameras right now. Mm. Like the only setup like that is the one that has like 150 Canon DSLRs. So you can walk into the middle of it and then when they say go, if you jump in the air and hit a mark, in a second, you're fully 3D scanned. But
yeah, that's what they do with the Matrix.
I can't imagine the amount of time it would take to calibrate all those cameras to get the right distance, angle. You know, that's got to be a nightmare.
Be a little more than setting it up at the city, you know, farmers market and having people come to scan themselves.
Have to be there 4 days early.
Have you, Josh, what have you been up to this week?
I have been busy. This new job is keeping me busy. It was really fun. So, what day is it? It's Thursday. Which is kind of neat now that the podcast day that we record coincides with like the video release date. So, maybe if people want to hear the behind the scenes or the peek behind the curtain, they'd come listen to us and quit listening to Making It. What are we doing? Skateboard thing?
Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah, this week has been weird because we have two videos that we have to do. Like we had to shoot and record kind of at the same time because one is a sponsored video from Lowe's and then his normal one today. So I think the one from Lowe's is coming out early next week, so it had to be done, and then this one had to be done, and so it's a lot quantity-wise of stuff to handle and manage. But they're really fun. The one we did is a skateboard hanger, a steel skateboard hanger, and got shot in the face with sparks a lot, so that was not that great. But no, it's been really fun. It's been really neat in the... I fixed a bunch of robots, which is kind of cool. His Glowforge was broken, and I went to go use his X-Carve the other day, and it cut like crap. And then I realized that, like, there's belts, right? So there's belts that make the gantries go back and forth. Well, this one was, like, floppy and super loose for the X, and it was missing a bolt. So it was really had no reason to be tight like it should have been because it was missing hardware. So I fixed that. I CNC'd a bunch of stuff today. And then I got the Glowforge up and running. Coincidentally, it was a belt problem too, so I had to fix that. It was neat. Get to play around and solve problems. And that's what I really like about working this new job is that every day there's something that I don't know how to do or I know a little bit of that I got to figure it out. And it's really cool that I get the freedom to solve a lot of problems in a lot of unique ways. It's really awesome. So if you want to see what I've been doing, you can go over to Bob's channel at I Like to Make Stuff and you can see anytime the camera moves or spins around or does whatever, I did that. So that's what I've been working on. Wes, what about you, buddy?
I kind of came up with a little side project to try to make some geeksmithing money to help fund some other projects. I'm creating stamps, like the rubber stamps, but for people's shops.
I know that one.
Yeah. And so I posted on my Instagram, hey, the first 7 people that say they want one, I'll make one for free as long as you agree that I can use your logo as like in my gallery of example images, you know, for someone that wants the service. And then, so I had like way more than 7 people respond. And a couple of them that responded, they ended up dropping out. So I got a nice little sampling. One of them is a guy who, I forget his name. I'll shout him out when I'm done with it, but he's basically a cosplayer for Jack Sparrow. So he wants like the tattoo for Jack Sparrow that it's like reproducible to like put on his arm or wherever it, I don't know where it is on his actual body. Cause I don't watch those movies beyond the first one. But, the X car has been giving me a little bit of trouble. It's been doing that like stopping thing, like in the middle of a job and it's completely random and it's no rhyme or reason. So one of them, it decided not to cut anymore. So then like an hour is wasted on this block of rubber. So that's infuriating. So I don't know how much longer I'll be able to take that. I'm going to do some more troubleshooting, but it's kind of irritating. But got a handful of those cutting, and over half of them are done. They're not too – they don't take very long to do as long as the X-Carve works.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe I'll get you over here and fix it for me since you've been so – your track record today has been so good.
Yours is some Franken machine that Luis put together.
Yeah. I'm thinking it might be one of the cables still. Like it'll cut and then it just stops. And like the program, whatever the program is that's operating it, like either Easel or the Universal G-Code Sender, it just locks the program up. And actually I have to like unplug the USB cable and like re-plug it in. Like I have a fan on the processor stuff, so it's not overheating. I've like rerouted the cable from the router, so it's not near all the other cables. So it's like the EMI kind of thing that some people are saying is a possibility. Mm-hmm. Seems kind of to me. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
One cable that I had problems with was for one of the Y motors. And it looks like it wasn't a continuous cable whenever he assembled it. And I don't know if they're shipped this way, but like there's like several splices in like a lot of the wires, like they extended the cable length. So I'm wondering if some of those are a little bit sketch. So I'm tempted to order just a whole new length of cable. Like I've adjusted like where they're attaching. They said if the connection's loose on the actual, you know, where they all converge near the controller, I've reconnected and re-tightened. I've like jiggled wires while it's running to try to get it to do it in front of me, like, at, you know, as it's happening. And it doesn't. It's like a total gremlin. And I'm afraid to put any, like, you know, expensive piece of wood under there because if it just stops in the middle, it has no reference. It doesn't know where your Z home was. And so, like, there's no...
Do you have alignment switches?
I don't. So maybe that might help me.
Well, yeah, but even then, it could still be a little off. And
yeah.
It sounds, if all of them are stopping, it's a...
The whole machine's like, I give up. And it just...
And it sounds like a G-code problem because your computer is sending all of those pieces. Because if it was a wiring problem, then that particular motor or set of motors would fail, but everything else would keep going.
UGS doesn't have an air log, does it?
Not that I can tell. Not that I mean, I have to completely like control alt delete those programs because they're just completely locked up. So that's what makes me think maybe the controller is partially hosed. I don't know.
Your G Shield?
Yeah. So like, do I want to spend $300 for like a new one to keep this Franken machine going? I don't know. On a maybe. It's just.
You should call up Invenables and ask to see if you can get a upgrade to an X controller.
I'm sure they'll.
I have it on good authority that they're doing such things.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just. I'm about to send Shea Poco a message.
Do that route too.
Yep. Yeah.
See if they make a comeback.
Yeah, they've been given some machines out there too.
I've seen it slowly but surely. See their name more again.
Right now, it's a battle to try to win brand loyalty with the content creators and.
Come on, come at me, guys.
I would willingly do a side by side comparison for them.
Yeah. And maybe Iconic CNC, their machines look pretty nice too. They're just way expensive.
I would love to test a CNC router parts machine.
That as well.
I may be getting to do that soon enough. Whoa. Maybe.
That doesn't surprise me, but.
Can neither confirm nor deny.
What about you, Sean? What have you been up to?
Something similar to you in a small way in trying to generate more revenue. This last week, my wife and I were working on coming up with a plan for doing some small items in almost like a production type setting to try to make some extra money, maybe even start doing some craft fairs for stuff. She's motivated and interested in learning how to use the CNC. In addition to the, 800 other things that she's trying to do on the side. So we're going to probably try to do a short run of like Star Wars, CNC'd Star Wars portraits and some other things, but I want to try to do some interesting things with them too, instead of just like a flat portrait, maybe have some dimension to it. And also making a small run of the headphone stands that I made before, but also seeing some sort of image or graphic or saying on the face of them. Probably not custom, just because I don't want to do that, but I'll see what I can do in the meantime with that, but that's what we're kind of gearing up to do around here, partially for the holidays.
So. Say one thing, especially around the holidays, it sells with the CNC, is the words "Happy Holidays,"
mm-hmm.
And in lieu of like some of the letters, make a little Christmas tree for the A, or a little snowflake, or a little like turkey or whatever. This lady tried to get me to make some, and I made one, and she was like, "I need you to make like 50." I'm like, "I don't want to make 50."
It hurts That's my stupid. Soul thinking about doing that. It really does.
I have the opposite reaction. Like, if my machine was reliable enough to do 50, I would happily do 50 right now. I'd happily do 2.
Yeah, it was right when we were leaving the house, and I was trying to sell her my machine so she could just do it herself. And she hawed about it, and now I still have it. But yeah, she wanted a bunch of stuff. And I was like, "This stuff looks dumb." She's like, "It's not dumb. People love it." I'm like, "Ugh." But yeah,
it hurts my soul thinking about it. I know. I just have to get over it.
Get your wife to do that part. You can do cool Star Wars stuff. She can do the Pinteresty home decor.
Oh, she feels the same way, though, because she's a designer, too. It's tough. Anyways.
Tibbs, you're right. You're real close to Disney. They're going to come knocking on your door. Steal all your stuff. You start making Star Wars.
Can't get any of the designs off Thingiverse. They pulled them all off. You guys hear about that?
Yeah, I'm a little upset about that. I mean, I get it.
They're getting more retentive, though, right now. It's gotten bad.
They're going to come up with their own 3D modeling database.
I wouldn't be surprised. I actually saw somebody put up a meme of the Princess Leia. They're like, apparently Disney's never watched the movie they just bought, and it was Princess Leia going, "The tighter your grip, the more will slip through your fingers."
Cool. So what are we talking about today, fellas?
Based on previous conversations, we thought it'd be interesting to talk about parenting, in a sense of getting your kids into making and even like starting projects, starting engineering projects for kids, kind of get them into that mindset of creating and seeing how things work.
Yeah. How do you convince a little kid that only wants to play Pokemon and watch TV to make something with their hands, make something fun. So what's the first thing that comes to mind? Like, what do you, huh? Yeah.
You got to make a Pokemon. You got to find their interest and then make that bridge. Right. You know, between them. Make a Pokeball or something. I don't know.
I've done that already. I got to move
figure
on.
Out what, yeah.
I think I'm kind of lucky with my kids because of what I've already established here at the house. You know, Legos are kind of a given. They both connect a lot. But I've wanted them to move on beyond that because even though the building of those things is good and helpful, not everything goes together like Legos or sticks together like Legos. One of the things I've really liked in terms of something almost like real world for my kids to start doing is I have one of the Snap circuit sets. Actually, we have a couple of them. And looking at how electricity works and how it moves through a circuit. And my son specifically went through probably about 20, 25 of the tutorials. And then he actually started doing it on his own. But one thing I made sure that I did was that he wasn't just snapping things together and trying to, you know, turn the on switch. I would make him sit there and walk me through how the electricity was moving through the circuit. And if something didn't work, I made him try to explain why it didn't work, or he had to figure out why it didn't work. But I would sit down with him and kind of walk him through it. Just to make sure that he didn't walk away from it and give up, but try to solve that problem. And, you know, it's even good for me because I don't have any engineering experience and I have very little knowledge of circuits even. So it's making me sit down and think through it too, because I do want to do more projects with electronics. So I'm hoping that we can kind of grow together in some of those things, at least for right now. And that's one thing that I'm doing with them actively.
Marcus, how old? 10?
8.
8. Oh, wow. I thought he was older than that.
Nope.
See, I think it really depends on their attention level.
Yeah.
So Deacon is 7. And, I mean, right now he's big into the fatty kind of thing. Like, he told me the other day he wanted to sell all his Pokemon cards so he could buy Beyblades. Oh, have you seen God. These things?
That's coming back.
Okay. They're Tops. He got really pissed.
They've been around like 10 years. Tops.
Mark is into it nonstop. He sings the stupid theme song.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a show, and I didn't know it was a show. And I came in the other day, and Deke was watching a show, and he got all excited. And it's like Pokemon, but these dingleberries are playing with Tops. And he's like, oh, man, you did a crazy whatever
it's
move.
Like fidget, it's like fidget spinners or something, attacking each other.
Well, and I was like, Deacon, this is stupid. I was like, you know there's no technique to gyroscopic motion and gravity, right? And he's like, no. You gotta put this spin thing, and it was dumb, but it was a top. And so I thought about it because it was the first time like he bought something on Amazon, like he wanted to buy one, and he had some money. So we, instead of me going to the store, we scoped through Amazon. So kind of bringing technology into you know, kids' lives, he learned all about Amazon the other day. But I thought about it, like he kept talking about the. When they hit each other, they blast or they explode or pieces fly off or something. You get points. I don't know. I was like, I wonder if we can 3D print like armor for this top of this Beyblade thing.
No, it's a great idea.
Yeah. So it's something that Wes, like you're talking about, like he was super into Pokemon.
Yep.
Pokemon doesn't really have a thing. It's a card game and you can make a little Pikachu or make a little whatever, but it's not part of the gameplay. I guess. Right. So I was like, maybe with this Beyblade thing, like it's a machine. It does something. So maybe we can design stuff around his new crazy fad. Like what did we do? We did the mini maker fair one time when they had the, or a little snap together circuit thing, the little bits. Yeah. And he made a little helicopter. It was really cool. He just sat there and kind of went to town and I watched him. And he created a little thing. And he's like, I'm done. And then just completely stopped
caring.
Your
heart was broken, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's trying to get him to be excited enough to have that longevity. Like, to hear that your son did 20-something iterations of a product in the same kind of game or the same activity, like, whoa, that's awesome. I don't know if my son would have that type of stamina.
I bet you was.
Well, Samantha's never really been a ton into making stuff in the shop per se, but she like she has a little workstation in the corner, as you can see in the video feed, but it's accrued a lot of dust over the summer. She likes messing around with Legos, and I have like a bunch of the monster clay laying around that, you know, she can make whatever with at any time. But when we were making jack-o'-lanterns this year, she really got into doing that with me. And she even said, like, this is super fun. I love making these things with you, Dad. And or said something like that. And it was really cool.
And your heart melted a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, I'll try to rekindle that kind of, you know, bond, I guess. And like we had a little experiment stuff before the summer with circuits as well, like a little 9-volt battery and some wire and a little switch and a light and that kind of thing, you know, making a loop. And we just kind of dibbled with that a little bit, but nothing too serious. But she also got the Kiwi crates for a while. So we've got like 6 of those, like in the craft cabinet. So some of them aren't opened yet, but she enjoys going through them. And now she's at the point where she can actually read the directions herself. Before it was like I would have to go through and sort of help her figure out what's going on. But now she has the capability of doing it mostly herself, and she'll help get some help when she gets stuck. So that's kind of cool that she's more autonomous with that. But like I got a package from JJ Robots, who were the guys that did the egg robot thing that I did the video on with Samantha earlier this year, and she really got into that. So maybe she can help with some of these as well, get her into the process. So I think it's there. She, I think she has the interest. She's at the age now where she can hold a little bit more attention with something. And I don't know, I think I can maybe harness that. Over the summer, we were all talking about maybe a challenge. Maybe we'll rekindle that idea next summer as well before it, about like a downhill racer kind of thing. I think that's a really good way to get all the parents that listen to this involved and get their kids going and sort of tie in all of our interests together, you know, in one project kind of thing, like a challenge. That'd be kind of cool. So I definitely want to table that and revisit that idea because we have a lot of hills around here. That'd be good. And I had gotten one of those when I was a kid. My grandfather helped me build one for Boy Scouts. And so I have fond memories of almost dying on that. So I want to keep that going.
So those, you brought up those crates, like those are really interesting because there are so many companies that are doing project crates and tinker crates and Kiwi crates and create crates that you can get the monthly or quarterly or whatever they are subscriptions. And they'll send you boxes with kind of pre-done up really simple electronics projects or craft projects kind of geared toward what your kids are into. Mm-hmm. And those are really fun. Like we all got sent one, the Create, I think it was a Create Crate.
Creation Crate.
Something like that. Sean, did you do a video on that already?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
With the little Arduino.
Yeah. Mine did not work. I tried to get Deacon involved. Like he and I did it, and then he kind of had, like, he wanted it to light up. Like he wanted it to do a thing. He wanted that kind of wow factor, and it never came because ours just was defective and didn't work after many, many, many hours of troubleshooting. And so I think the expectation was there for this new computer board thing that we were going to work with. And then the letdown was like, oh, that thing's not cool. I don't want that anymore. And it's just dumb. And I'm like, no, it's not dumb. Like it does lots of stuff. He's like, it didn't even light up, Dad. I'm like, well, crap. You got me there.
Yeah, this one was tough. I mean, it's, For a kid, even like for my son, it's still a little bit abstract. You could kind of show him that, you know, you plug in these wires and you do this, you can turn it on, the light comes on. But I think the experimentation is really limited for that age still. I think that something physical, maybe a little bit more physical instead of just purely electronic might be better for under 10 still at this point.
And those are pretty easy to short circuit and mess up as well. And
yeah, they're sensitive.
Arduinos, yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of the meat of that project is in the code. Mm-hmm. Because the components are really simple. I mean, it's a few resistors and some LEDs. And I think it had like a photo cathode on it. But so that the components are not complicated. It's just the code, and a majority of the code that you're going to get from a library. So it's a lot of cutting and pasting and activating or deactivating certain lines. And without having that knowledge of the syntax and how those pieces go together, then it's, you're hooking up some LEDs to some other little colorful little thingies, and then boom, it just magic happens. So it was neat, or it would have been neat. But I think, Shawnee, I agree with what you're saying. Like, it is a little abstract that this little blue board can magically do so many things because they don't get to code all of those bits to make it do what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, and even as an adult, I don't 100% still understand this. I just put the pins on the breadboard? Holes and follow the directions. I mean, I understand essentially how it works, but if you ask me to wire up my own circuit using the breadboard, I'm probably going to have some issues. Or find somebody that's done it already and just copy them.
That's what a majority of Arduino projects are right now.
Yep.
But I think an Arduino project, like, kind of like with Legos, you can make the Death Star out of these tiny little blocks that are 90 degrees, right? You can do so many things from a tiny base component, but I think you have to understand the components. And a lot of Arduino projects are taking scripts that it's high, low, like turn on, turn off, or read this analog number and or receive this signal, output this motion. You know, it's, and then you connecting all of those pieces together and building on each other makes something complicated, but it's still those base tasks and those with the very simple components that can do that. But I think to give a 10-year-old like a stack of 1x2 Legos to go build the Death Star, like, just as daunting that would be without a full set of instructions, like, the Arduino projects are the same way, even though that it's a simple little light. And you can program light turn on, light turn off, you know, easy enough. But to build that, to make an actual, like Deacon wants me to build this robot. And he, every random time that we're sitting alone somewhere, he's like, hey, Dad, how are you coming with that robot? I'm like, what? He wants the robot from The Incredibles, the big round one with, like, the telescoping octopus arms with spinny blades and stuff on it. And he's like, oh, you just got to, like, make it round, and then arms go in and out, and then it spins, and then on the arms move, and then it jumps, and its head turns around. It's not that hard. And I'm like, uh-huh. And so randomly, he's like, hey, how's my robot? I don't see a robot yet. I'm like, boy. And so he and I, we've been getting into CAD together. But again, using very simple shapes. He wanted a sphere. So I was like, all right, so let's find a circle. And then we draw a circle and use the revolve tool, and then it'll make a sphere with little cutouts and stuff in it. And that kind of got a wow factor from him, because you take like a 2D drawing and then you do a couple of things, and then boom, you have a three-dimensional object. You can turn and spin and make the little head thing that I designed pop up and spin around, but it's all on the computer.
And then have you messed with Tinkercad yet with him, like on a tablet?
I haven't. I know that it's a lot more like basic shape.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm still testing the waters with CAD, and I'm not sure if he's really into it or he just wants to see me make the thing that's in his head fast. And if it's just a means to an end, like, I'm not sure. But Mark, what do you see being the first little bit of project stuff that you could do with you?
Cooking.
Okay.
Because
it's valid.
Like, I was cooking dinner tonight, and she ran up. She's like, "Help, help!" So I picked her up, you know, and once in a while, I was making pancakes the other day and she wanted to help. So I picked her up and gave her a wooden spoon, and then she started smacking the pancakes with it. So it's a work in progress.
Ironically enough, that's how Wes makes his pancakes.
It is. That's the secret ingredient is physical
violence.
The batter.
Some whacking.
Yeah. The secret ingredient that's is violence. Not my secret. That's why it tastes so yummy. That's
right. You whipped it into submission.
They're whacking in the kitchen.
Boy, you whacking in my shed. I could see her getting into Legos real quick too, because she likes, you know, her toys.
Because you have so many down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that too. Well, she's got to get her own. She can't.
We have daddy's toys and Legos, and you're going to have her toys.
Yeah. Yeah, because for the next couple of years, she's going to try to eat my Legos.
What's going to happen? Yep. What's going to happen to her that one day when you come home from work and she's down there and she's opened like several boxes?
Oh, I don't care if she opens them. I'm not like collecting them for the pristine value of them. I'm bought them to play with them. I've never understood. Like, I get if you buy a toy and want to keep it as a collectible, but buy a toy to open it too, because that's the whole point. Anyway, off topic. Yeah, if she comes down here and they're open, I'm like, as long as you didn't lose any parts, I'm cool with this.
Oh, I have a little land speeder from Star Wars in the Lego set that I built.
Yeah.
And I kept it here beside my bed, and the kids come in here, and it's been destroyed. So then I try to put it back together, and then, like, a piece is missing. I'm like, so then I try to put it up in his cabinet, and then they get it down, and then I step on Luke Skywalker's hair one day, and then... Then I have a bowl that I turned, and it's randomly filled with pieces of this Lego set. And so, like, there will probably be, like, the hilt of a lightsaber, like, a single engine, and maybe, like, a 1x2 remaining once I try to go find all these pieces. Like, because, I mean, Isaac, my 3-year-old, and Elizabeth, my 2-year-old, like, they don't care. They're Legos. They have an entire bin and a whole table dedicated to playing with Legos. They don't differentiate mine from theirs. I just have a set that they haven't even seen before, so it's all the more, you know, alluring. But Legos are such a gateway drug.
Yeah. Especially when you get in, like, I was playing around on AliExpress today, and apparently they sell a light kit for Ecto-1.
Hmm. They're doing the aftermarket on a lot of those to enhance them.
Yeah. And that is awesome. Because I want a lighted Ecto-1. But yeah, because Lego used to have that. They used to have, I mean, there's no way, I still have them, but there's no way for me to find them because they were just regular, like, little bricks with electrodes in them, little pieces of metal. So you had the big battery pack, and then you had to build an electrical path up to the lights.
Hmm.
And that was really cool. When I had that, I loved it. I was amazed by that. And, the only sad part is I'm never going to find them because they were black bits and they went into the black pieces. So I'd have to literally examine every single black brick I have to find the ones with metal in it.
Use a magnet.
I was about to say, or get a super magnet, but I don't know if that metal is thick enough to be, like, really strongly attracted.
Since we all have daughters, I have a recommendation too. Not that, you know, my daughter plays with almost all toys, but it's kind of nice when something is more engineered for girls. There's a toy line called Goldieblocks, which was touted as kind of like supposed to be specifically geared for girls to look at engineering. And they almost look like Tinker Toys. They're almost modeled in a similar way, but they are modeled as experiments and you can do other things with them. And my daughter's been loving them. Of course, my son kind of co-ops them too, and then now they're mixing with the Legos and the Kinects, which is just fine. But it's been a really cool thing seeing something specifically for her that she really gets into and likes. You know, the marketing is a little bit more more for a young girl, and that's actually pretty good too.
I could see Thea going nuts over these. They're like the cartoon characters, and they're brightly colored. And
And speaking of Kinects, we haven't told anybody this yet, but my daughter won a Kinects contest.
Nice.
They did a some sort of contest on Facebook called Coaster Face. You just take a picture like on a coaster, and my daughter won. And she won. I probably shouldn't say it too loud because I hope they can't hear me. She won a huge, like, $300 pack of roller coaster Kinects. So now they're going to get to experiment with roller coasters and seeing how those things work too.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for her.
That's really cool.
So what are the things that we're trying to get them to learn? Like, what is the point?
How things work in the real world.
Okay.
There's so much digital influence right now where you can make anything happen on a screen that it's important to understand those basic physical laws of of structure, of movement, of gravity, and a lot of those basics.
Have any of you showed your kids a siphon yet, which is like a garden hose?
No, but I remember
being amazed by that as a kid. Like, what? You can, like, how much do you think I can, you know, how much you want to make a bet? I can move this water out of here autonomously. And in half an hour, this pool is going to be drained. No, you know, like, you know, you could just, that simple concept, like, amazed me up until I was a teenager. I loved doing that. Oh, you got to drain the kiddie pool. Okay, I'll do it. You know, it's just, it's like magic.
I love you went back to how much you want to make a bet.
Yeah.
The syntax is completely ridiculous, but everybody's like, I want to make a bet. I'll double dog dare you. How much you want to make a bet?
Triple dog.
I want to show her the, that bit where you take the long, like, ball bearing chain and take the little bit out and then drop it, and then it starts just going up in the air before it flips over. Mm-hmm. That still, like, amazes me to this day, the way that works. It's so cool.
I just saw it posted online yesterday, I think. Somebody posted another picture of it running.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't either.
I forget the name of the effect.
I'll find the YouTube video. Basically, if you have, like, a jar, you know what I'm talking about, that ball bearing chain, like the, it kind of looks like the pull chain lights, but it's bigger.
Like a dog tag chain?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But the balls are bigger. So if you take out enough of it, if you take out enough of it, so it starts pulling itself out of the bottle, out of the container, it will actually start lifting out of the air. And let me get this
a big, like, arc.
The container's here. It'll start arcing out instead of just being pulled out.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
So, you know what we should do?
Is that, like, we used to...
Sorry, Josh, go ahead.
Sorry. We were over at Bob's the other day, and all the kids were there, and his kids had a bunch of birthday money, and one of them bought, like, a little kid's beginner magic set. And it was awesome because, like, in my engineering-type brain, like, I don't like magic because it's a trick that I'm not privy to. Like, you've designed some cool machine. Like, just show me your cool machine. Like, don't try to fool me. I'm just impressed by what it is you're doing. And so watching this, like, 7-year-old try to do these magic tricks, and it messes up. He's like, oh, wait. And then he, like, very obviously does the little mechanism. I'm like, give me that thing. And I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool because this little latch lifts this thing. And so all the kids were around, and I was doing these little magic tricks because I had kind of reverse engineered how it was supposed to work. And it's simple because it's fun. Like, oh, it's magic. I was like, no, it's not magic. It's a trick. And here's how it works. And here's this thing that does this, and then this happens, and this happens. So it teaches that kind of cause and effect. And it has a wow and, like, the allure of, like, show me what it is that you did. And it was really super simple. And there were probably 7 kids in the kitchen trying to figure out, like, how we did this. And then I showed them. I'm like, okay, well, this little box is meant to slide into here. And they're like, oh. And so it's like a puzzle that you're not meant to solve. But when you break it apart and you see the real world mechanics of how this box slides, and it just gets latched by this little thing you move with your thumb. And, like, that to them was so much fun. Maybe it's just they got to solve the problem or prove the magician wrong, but the mechanics of it all, and the tangible, like, result of what we were doing was so much fun to them. And so maybe not building code or building, I don't know, that was really fun for everybody, and they got to see all of the gears in their mind start to turn. And then some of them became like a little question. It was like, okay, well, if I do this, what's going to happen? Like, oh, well, that thing's going to move. And then it didn't because it's a magic box. I'm like, oh, well, you didn't know that this little piece actually stuck this little thing. And they're like, ah, and to see all those little pieces come together really awesome. Yeah. With a little kid's magic set.
I love little magic sets as a kid. It also made me remember some other little sciencey things that I liked, like a gyroscope, like with the pull string. Mm-hmm. I love messing with those as a kid. And prisms, Like anytime I went to a science museum, I would try to find a prism because those are just, you can't find them everywhere, like at a Target or whatever. So they're still novel in a way and helps you explain science and in an interesting way that's not as common anymore. So I like those kinds of things as well.
Oh, neat.
Exactly.
Amazon's got some neat prisms.
That's what Mark does when we record.
He's cute. He uses Amazon shopping.
I need to look up what you guys are talking about, and I know what a prism is, but I was like, yeah, what? How available are they?
You don't see those on the shelves at Walmart many days.
So in the show notes, I'm going to list everything we've been talking about. And for everybody listening, we'd actually love to hear your suggestions as well. So make sure that you tweet at us or email us, and we'll add those to the list.
Because there's stuff that we're missing. I mean, hands down, we're missing those fun little projects to get your kids involved. I was always, as a kid, I was real big on motors. Just simple little those DC motors that you'd find in every crappy RC car. Because, I mean, depending on, like, the drive shaft length as it stuck out, like, you could put anything on there. Like, it became a drill or something for, like, the 12-inch G.I. Joes. Or you put a little, like, I remember I had this... some Lego set that had like a string with like the attachment little peg attached to it. And like I attached that to the end of it and it became this like swirly mace thing that was like smacking down the little army men figures. Like a 9-volt battery and those simple motors could be anything. You guys remember the cartoon Centurions?
Yes.
Barely.
The show was awesome and it had awesome toys.
Power Extreme.
Yes. And they had a, Jake Rockwell, who is the land guy that had this kit that had a little helicopter, and I had it, and I tried to figure out a way. I had to put a little rubber, I think it was like an eraser for one of those big fat pencils I jammed on the end of one of those drive shafts and kind of stuck it up close to the propeller thing, and I made the little propellers on my Centurion guy like spin. I was like, this toy just got 10 times cooler because this tiny little motor, and I always seem to have motors everywhere because I used to take stuff apart. But having, I don't know, Bob does a thing with, like, the recycling. He's talked about one of his kids, like, loves going and recycling and making stuff. And I realize I've never done that with Deacon. And we were all hanging out the other night. And he comes downstairs. He's like, Dad, we have to go. I'm like, oh, crap, what's wrong? He's like, all the kids are upstairs, and they are making boats out of trash.
I was like, what kind of friends okay. are these now?
Yeah, I'm like, good. He's like, no, they're digging in the garbage. I was like, it's not the garbage. It's recycling. He's like, no, this is gross. And so I come home today, and there's a box that, like, spaghetti noodles was in, and I was about to throw it in the trash. And Tiff was like, don't do that. Deke wanted to keep it because he wants to make a car out of this long box of spaghetti noodles. I was like, out of the trash? And she's like, he asked to keep it because he wants to build stuff. And I was like, it's infectious.
Did you guys ever build that little, it's like a science physics experiment thing. It has like a coffee can and like a string on the middle. You put like a weight inside and it like you twist the object in the middle of the coffee can and it like makes the coffee can roll like autonomously because I think it's like a rubber band. Am I describing it right? No. So you have a coffee can.
You probably are. I just haven't done it.
And you stretch like a rubber band through the center, and there's like a mass attached to the rubber band inside the coffee can. And that when that spins, it like causes the outer coffee can. Yeah, it causes the coffee can to propel itself. And then once it reaches the center of gravity, it's like twisted, and then it goes back the other way and makes the coffee can reverse directions. Like little novelty physics toys that I remember playing with. Or you can make a vehicle out of CDs and like a
mousetrap.
Yeah, it might be a little more dangerous for fingers with little kids, but you could.
Well, no, we did it during our maker camp last year. We built a mousetrap car.
Yeah,
exactly. And we had I think 4 or 5 entries. We would prototype it, and then I think we would meet on a Saturday, so we'd prototype it. We try to figure it out. You would test it, and then you would go home for the week. And then the very next Saturday, we would like have a race. These kids built some awesome, like with their parents, like built some awesome cars. had a, you take a mouse trap, you load it, and you tie a string to it, and that string ties around an axle so that whenever you let it go, the spring tension that would normally snap the little mouse's head off is pulling the string, which is pulling the axle, which is propelling the car. And yeah, those are super fun projects.
It, that reminds me of a instrumental event in Catherine and my history, where she had like a physics class that I wasn't in, but she had an assignment. She had like the mousetrap car thing that ended up working slash not working for her. And this is before we got together in high school. And she had this current one, or her new assignment was to build a machine that could receive a ping pong ball at a specified height. Have you heard about this kind of physics thing? Uh-uh. It receives a ping pong ball at a certain height, let's say 3 inches. And it has to do something with the ping pong ball and keep it in motion or do something with it for like 15 or 20 seconds. And then it needs to pass the ping pong ball off again at that specified height. So the idea is each group or each person in this physics class would have a different contraption and they align them all up in sequence. And it's like a giant Rube Goldberg machine. So if everybody's thing worked perfectly, the input and output are the same. They should be compatible with the next machine in the line. So you start with one golf or ping pong ball and go. And it has this like train of, you know, whose thing's going to fail. And it, like, there's like a wide variety of types of machines. And I helped her create hers. I honestly did the most of it. You know, included some like constructs and like a little motor. And I think part of the rules is you could touch the ball once if something happened in the sequence to like reset it or whatever, and you could have it like something battery powered in it as well. But only one thing. And like once the ball started, you couldn't like touch it or mess with it beyond that one time. So there's like little rules that were set in place, and it was really fun. Like it was a very memorable kind of thing. And like such a wide variety of ideas. Like one person had like this, contraption where the ball hit a thing and it like caused sand to fall out on this pedestal that got eventually weighted down, and it caused like the platform that was underneath the ball to raise. It was like a little elevator, and it was just a wide variety of mechanical processes and things, and it was very inspiring and stuff. So just a little kind of in the train of thought that we're kind of going with tonight reminded me of that. So if she had not gotten that project assigned to her, we might not be married today. I don't know. But it was one of our first kind of like bonding experiences in 12th grade. So it was cool. Yeah.
Tiffany and I had physics together, and I had to build every single one of her projects. And the only time I complained is when her mousetrap car made it all the way across the gym, and mine barely made it to the free throw line.
You spent way too much time on hers, didn't you?
Yep.
Yep.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
That's love.
But,
that's true love.
I'm sure we could be go on this topic for a long time, but maybe we'll do a part two at some point. So what are you guys geeking out about this week?
I'm going on a trip tomorrow. I'm going to Virginia to meet up with Jason Roush and Ross Carroll.
Oh.
And a couple more people. He works at Wallops Island in at NASA's facility there in Virginia, Eastern Shore, Virginia. And there's a rocket launch Saturday morning. So I'm going up there to hang out with him and crash at his place, actually, and watch a rocket launch. And I'm bringing two of my local friends here in Cary. One of them's a listener, Robert. You guys, I think you met Robert at the Atlanta thing. He slept on the floor at Atlanta. But we're going up there, and it should be a lot of fun.
Excited. It's an ATK rocket, I think, it's launched on tomorrow.
Yep. It's an International Space Station supply run. So not terribly exciting as far as payload, but hey, it's a rocket launch. So
good way to celebrate. ATK makes all the rocket boosters and everything for all the Navy's missiles. They got a big facility out in Salt Lake City, and every once in a while, when a rocket motor reaches end of life, they blow it up. And so a bunch of the engineers and people that I work with would go on these random trips to Salt Lake City and come back with a bunch of videos of these huge, like, first stage, second stage rocket motors, like, just blowing up in the desert on purpose.
Nice.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm geeking about. What are you geeking out about, Mr. Mark?
Movie end of the year. Basically. That was the same thing I'd said last week. Never mind.
Lame.
Yeah, it was lame. I don't know, the 3D scanners.
You should be geeking out about that.
I'm getting some pretty decent results. I just gotta get a handle on some of the software so I can clean up some of the scans and maybe start bringing in some money. Should be cool. Josh?
I'm keeping on about music lately. Being here in Kentucky, there's a bunch of like new places. I mean, there's new coffee shops. There's new like events going on. They have a really cool theater downtown. It's actually playing The Big Lebowski on the big screen tomorrow that I think my wife and I are going to go watch. But there's, I think it's on Saturday, there's this like acoustic like get together with a bunch of different kind of bands and groups that are getting together at this big community center. There's going to be like a big acoustic concert.
Bluegrass 24/7 or what?
That's not, I don't think it's necessarily bluegrass, but.
Got to throw a stereotype in there.
Mm-hmm. Get the washboard and the moonshine jug.
That's right.
But it was so impromptu. And like this town is pretty cool. And there's like a food thing like all downtown where you get these coupons and like go get a bunch of free food, or not really free, but like a bunch of food samplings. And just, I'm geeking about this cool town that we're in and that we have a lot of people that we know here that we've met so far that can watch the kids. And my wife and I can actually go out and have some dates and go do fun, entertaining things that don't involve Pokemon or Moana. So, I'm really excited to be able to go out and spend some time with my wife.
That's a good thing.
Mark, what about you, buddy? Oh, no, you already went. Sorry, Sean, what about you?
I am geeking out about my 3-day weekend. A week off I have coming up. A bunch of projects that I'm looking forward to that I'm going to finally be able to get to, I think. Yeah, just a bunch of stuff. And, of course, Thor, which I'm waiting for all of you guys to see. So we can finally do our spoiler cast.
I'm good.
Are we actually doing one?
I saw it.
If everybody sees it, yeah. Otherwise, it's going to be a
kind of... I passed up on seeing it today. Oh. I didn't know we were doing a spoiler cast. I would have made it a bigger priority.
Well, it wasn't official that we were going to do it because we didn't know if we were going to be able to see it. I just got lucky that I was able to see it when I did.
Yeah, that was what I did.
Because either we have to hurry up and do it, or we're going to be backed up with Star Wars or half a dozen other things.
Justice League, yeah.
I don't know if you guys want to see Justice League or do a spoiler cast. Unless you want to have some fun and probably bash on a movie.
I'm just hoping it's not going to be a disappointment cast.
Well, that'll be the title if we do.
Naysayers already. Get out of here.
I'm scared. I don't want to be a naysayer, but I'm scared to death of DC making movies now. Like, they've been...
Wonder Woman was awesome. That was the last thing you saw in theaters.
I didn't,
and
I didn't
go with
see,
that.
I didn't see Wonder Woman.
Is Aquaman supposed to be funny?
Well, that's... I don't remember if I said it last week or not, but I'm pretty sure they made Justice League just so Jason Momoa could jump around going, yeah!
Is he the Keanu Reeves of this generation?
No, I think Keanu Reeves is the Keanu Reeves of this generation.
He doesn't age.
He's still around. He's still whooping butt in wow, brain fart. What was that movie? John Wick, yeah.
Yeah, pretty fun.
I love those movies. They're so great. But yeah, like Superman. I liked Superman or Man of Steel, and Batman vs. Superman should have been an hour and a half. It was too much in too short a time. They crammed too much together.
We're starting a whole
other
podcast.
Yeah, we have to stop right here.
But no, I'm just saying, I'm just going into it. I want Justice League to be really good. I'm dying for Justice League to be really good. I'm just scared that the executives had too much input in it and went, oh, that doesn't matter. Just put it out so we can get our money.
Well, if we all watch it, we could find out and kind of talk more about it at that time, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, we would love to hear from all of you. Please visit makinggeeks.com. Check out the contact page. Questions, drop us a line. Any suggestions for the show, we would love to hear from you. And remember once again that on the homepage, you can listen to all of our past episodes right there. So please check out makinggeeks.com.
And you can find us on all the social medias. Find us on Instagram at Making Geeks Podcast and on Facebook and Twitter at Making Geeks.
And we'd also like to thank our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/makinggeeks. You guys help keep the lights on and the little hamsters on the wheel, help keep them fed to keep the show going. So we definitely appreciate it. And we want to give a special shout out to our top patron, Mr. Seth Williams. Thank you, sir, for your support. We do appreciate it. And if you'd like to find out about our perks that we offer on there and other exclusive content, go check out patreon.com/makinggeeks. Thank you.
And Seth had a really good show topic about how do you get your kids to do things that they don't want to do. And my children don't respect me. They do what they want to do anyway. They scream and yell. So again, I don't know. Sean, probably the only two of you guys.
Authority.
Yeah. Mark your kids too. I'm pretty sure she does what she wants to do anyway.
Yeah. I'm slowly getting the no, we can't do that. And she goes, okay. But yet we put her down at dinner and she still throws her food on the floor, no matter how much I get in her face about it. So
we have strong willed children.
Mm. But
good show topic. We don't have anything to say about that. We might sometime. I don't. I'll just listen attentively and take notes.
I think we could take the funnier approach.
You can find us all. Yeah. As I pick food out of my hair from today. But you can find us all individually all over the internet. YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter at GeekSmithing, Geek Builders, Asylum Designs, and the PI Workshop. And thank you everybody for hanging out with us. Hopefully this episode inspired you to get out and start something fun with your kids. Something neat. Wow them. Show them how cool real world is and actually making something out of tangible objects, because it's super fun. And you can hopefully change their trajectory in life by making some neat stuff early on. I'd like to thank you for hanging out. Stay tuned every Saturday for a new episode. And we all hope that you have a fantastic week. Good night.
See you guys.
Night.
Go do something fun with your kids. That's love.
True love.